It's the 19th hole with Michael Williams.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the 19th hole. Michael Williams, your host and sheriff, bringing you the best of the best of the best in golf and golf lifestyle. Today, we're going to take you for a little travel trip, both in the country and out of the country. We're going to have some of the best destinations to go to. We know that people are looking for places to go where you can play right now, especially on the East Coast. It's getting a little chilly, a little frosty, and you need to have a place to go where you can go play, hit a ball, enjoy a 19th hole, and all of those wonderful things that we like to do that are a special part of golf. Joining me today are two of the best and most insightful people in the game, and that game is golf tourism, golf travel. We'll have Anthony Holder, who is the director of golf operations at Horseshoe Bay Resort in Texas. I admit right now that I haven't been there. I've always wanted to go, and I'm so happy to have him on as a guest to talk about what is one of the best resorts, one of the most highly coveted resorts in the country, and more importantly, what makes them that way. Everything that they have to offer and how he does it, how he gets that place to be such a leader in an industry that is clearly growing and growing and growing every single day. Really glad to have him on. Also joining me is Javon Roberts, who's the assistant tournament director for the Butterfield Bermuda Championship. And he's going to talk about that championship, which was recently held in Bermuda. I've had an opportunity to go there to that particular championship in that particular place. But he's going to give a good reminder, a refresher course about really the special qualities and natures of that Butterfield Bermuda Championship, which I highly advise you to go to out of any PGA Tour event, and also why you should go to Bermuda anyway to play golf, to experience what I think is one of the most underrated golf destinations in the world. So it's going to be a great show. One quick reminder, I did in this case record both of these interviews, and there's the sound on these, I'm going to tell you right now, is a little bit weird. I don't know why it is. We cleaned it up as much as we could. So if you have any trouble hearing some words or things like that, or it sounds a little bit tinny or a little bit mushy, don't adjust your set. It's basically on us. So I apologize up front for that. But I think we got it to a point where you can really hear and enjoy what these people have to say. So just wanted to get that out in front of you. It's not the usual quality that it is here, but it is still really high quality. You'll be able to enjoy the show. It shouldn't mess with you too much. So with that said, why don't you go get a beverage and a crunchy snack and join us, because we're about to take off on a world of travel golf. You don't want to miss it. Stay with us. Michael Williams, 19th hole.
Hey there, Jay Peterman here, John O'Hurley, and you are listening to Mike Williams and the 19th Hole.
Welcome back to the 19th Hole. Michael Williams, your host and sherpa for yet another segment. I have been to Texas, deep in the heart of, as they say, a couple of times, and played some wonderful golf there, had some absolutely amazing experiences. And there are so many of them in Texas, from the PGA Center in Frisco is getting a lot of attention. That's turning an eye back to Texas as a golf destination. There's so much there other than that. So many places that I have been to and so many places that I haven't been to. And I put my hand up in shame and say one place that I haven't been to is some place that I've always wanted to go, which is Horseshoe Bay Resort. But never fear, because joining me here today is somebody who can tell me all about that and make me feel even worse about not having been to Horseshoe Bay Resort. Please welcome Anthony Holder, the Director of Golf Operations at Horseshoe Bay. Anthony, welcome to the 19th hole, and let the beatings begin. I haven't been there. I apologize.
Yeah, come on, Michael. Well, first and foremost, it's an honor. Thank you for for having me on the show. But man, our next mission, we've got to get you out here. It's just an unbelievable place, and I think you would thoroughly enjoy it.
Well, I would love to do the show from there, as a matter of fact, to let people know a little bit about that. They can hear the smile on my face when I do a show from a remote location. So we'll try to make that happen. But I haven't been, so I'm going to speak from things that I've read and things that I've heard about the resort, and all of them have been absolutely sparkling. Before we talk about the resort, let's talk a little bit about you and what you were doing. I know you were a PGA professional, but how you came to the game and how you came to Horseshoe Bay Resort.
Well, I hope we've got a lot of time. No, no, interesting enough, my father was a golf professional. His father was a golf professional. My father was a golf professional out in East Texas. So I was born and raised in East Texas, grew up under his tutelage, working on the golf course at a very, very young age and at every capacity known to man in the golf operation. So, you know, started off as I called it the head weed eater of the golf course and then worked my way into the range and so on and so forth. And then, after I graduated, you know, I wanted to kind of get out from under his wing and do my own thing, and chased a gal up to Utah, Southern Utah, started working at a golf course there, which is when I really got serious about the career path, and worked my way up to first assistant there. A couple of years, as you know, Utah is seasonal, so we started having kids and I needed to find something with a year-round income. So we moved out to Palm Springs and stayed out there for 15 years. Wow. And worked at various different clubs, PGA West, Mission Hills, Indian Wells, mostly as head professional director of golf at each of those facilities. And, you know, we always wanted to get back to our roots and to Texas, just a great quality of life here. And my family's here. But, you know, it's tough to find anything that lined up with my career path. Until I found out about this opportunity, flew out here, had an interview, looked at the property and was just in awe and fell in love with the place. So we moved out here 8 years ago, my wife and three kids, and haven't looked back, haven't regretted it once, and have just really enjoyed being here.
Well, when I start my dating show, we're going to come back to you and your wife, okay? Because you covered a lot of turf there with one sentence, but it's so great that for you to be back at Horseshoe Bay Resort. Talk a little bit about the land where you are. What part of Texas are you in, and what sort of defines the outdoor experience there?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're situated about 45 miles west of Austin, Texas, in the hill country. So a lot of elevation change, a lot of rolling hills, a lot of undulations. We're actually situated on a constant level lake, Lake LBJ. Hmm. So as you can imagine, the hunting, the fishing, the hiking, a lot of outdoor activities, the lake, obviously being a constant level lake, a lot of lake activities going on with jet skis and, you know, just all the surfing and all the stuff that you can do on the lake. So it's really just a fun place to live. There's so many options. We haven't even touched on all the other amenities, but I'm sure we will. But it's just a fantastic place to live, raise kids.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful place to live. And the reason I wanted you to touch on that where you are kind of topic is about the topography of the land. A lot of people think of Texas as sort of like flat rolling plains or just flat. And the fact that you have that changes in elevation makes for a very interesting setting for a golf course. And not only for one, you have four full-size courses there, all of them done by the best architects in the world. Let's talk about RTJ, because I know a bit about him. Mm-hmm. And the number of courses that he's done. You have three Robert Trent Jones Sr. courses. He did so many of them. Talk a little bit about the courses there and the similarities that they have between the three and the differences that you'll see in the three.
Absolutely. So, yeah, three Robert Trent Jones Senior courses, which is pretty much unheard of in a close proximity. You have the Robert Trent Jones Trail, I think would be the only other that has something like that.
That's so, exactly right. That's, I was thinking the same thing. That's the, you have one of the few places, maybe the only place that has three properties on, three Robert Trent Jones courses on the property. It's pretty amazing. Yeah.
It really is. And what he does so great is he's very unintrusive to the environment, right? And so what he's trying to do is weave a golf course in and throughout the natural landscape of that particular area. So a lot of granite rock outcroppings, a lot of hill country vistas, a lot of incorporation of natural creeks and watershed. So he's done such a fantastic job with incorporating those characteristics throughout the golf experience and not feeling like someone came in and just moved a ton of dirt and created a golf course. So fantastic in that regard. And I would say that is the thing that unifies all the golf courses. That's the similarity. But the difference amongst the golf courses, which he was brilliant at doing, is creating a variety in difficulty, a variety in shot shaping, and a variety of the land and the topography and the elevation. So Slick Rock, I would say, is probably our member favorite. It's the oldest course of the three. It opened in 72. A little flatter in terrain, but a lot of natural creeks throughout, woven throughout the experience. You have the Million Dollar Hole, which is just phenomenal, hole number 14. A huge waterfall that you drive through as part of the experience as you're approaching the fairway. That's very picturesque. I would say Ramrock is considered the beast. Apple Rock would be considered the beauty. Ramrock is a very tree-lined golf course. You have to have the ability to shape and maneuver the ball. It's the most difficult of the three courses. But very cool in the sense that all the fairways are framed by these beautiful oak trees. And it's a shot shaper's course and probably my favorite course of all the courses out here. Apple Rock just has these phenomenal views, hill country vistas, views of the lake, a few holes that encroach into the lake. One of the par threes, you have to hit over the lake. So a lot of the lake incorporated into Apple Rock, and a lot of big elevation changes, which creates a beautiful views. And, you know, as you can imagine, all the golf courses, there are a ton of wildlife, foxes, you're going to see raccoons and deers. There's just all kinds of some of the biggest bucks I've ever seen in my life meandering on the golf course. So it's just a beautiful Texas experience playing all the golf courses.
And what we know are always, always outstanding features on RTJ courses are the par threes. And I know that within the courses that you have here, you have some amazing examples of his work there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. One of the most impressive is number four of Ram. It's an island green. Got a lot of water feature obviously around it, but just a beautiful par three. All the par threes are phenomenal. He does a fantastic job with them.
Yeah, it's just spectacular stuff. And then you have Summit Rock, which is a Jack Nicklaus course. And you know, the RTJ courses are amazing and how they play. But there are many people, and I talked to people before I did this show, there are many people who say that quietly Summit Rock may be Jack Nicklaus's best work, because he did some like 10,000 courses. So, you know, that's you know, a position, of course, but they say it's among his best, if not the best thing he's ever done.
Yeah, I would agree. Absolutely. And it's one of those courses that every hole is memorable. And every hole it's got its own hero shot within it. It's its own signature hole. We asked Jack, you know, which hole would you consider the signature hole? And he said all 18 of them.
Wow.
So it's a fun golf course. It's one of those courses, and this is how I always, you know, determine whether I like a course or not, is how many holes I can remember after I finish the round. And you're going to remember almost every single hole on that golf course. And what's cool about it is there's no two holes that parallel each other. Every hole is its own, you know, own hole. And so it's framed by this native grass, and it's just, you're on that hole and that's all you see is that fairway and that green and tee box. So it's very unique in that sense. You just feel like you're just meandering through this experience, right? And you don't have a bunch of carts and, you know, noise going on beside you. So talk about some views. I mean, I think that property that he had to work with was some of the best property in all of Texas Hill Country. Mm. Some of the views from that golf course, number three tee box looking back over Lake LBJ is just, I mean, you can see for miles, and it's just beautiful, beautiful. So it's cool that also in the design concept, all the property lines are very far set back from the golf course. So you don't have houses encroaching or encumbering on the golf experience. They're very far set back, and there's actually not a ton on that golf course. So it just feels like you're just carving through nature, you know?
And that's important that you say that, because there's a lot of courses that, even courses surprisingly on the PGA Tour calendar, where you go through and the houses are right there on the course, and they do not let you forget that you're in a community or something, which is just fine. But I, for one, like to feel the course, not the community. So
I agree.
For that expect that is another aspect that I would like to come and experience for myself. Let's back up a little bit and take a larger, wider view and talk about Horseshoe Bay as a resort, as a project. How long has it been there, and what's sort of your mission and vision for the entire property? What do you want a guest to experience when they come to Horseshoe Bay?
Good question. So it really started in 1971 is when the yacht club opened up. Just right after that, in 72, you had Slick Rock open up. And then they just kind of started to develop from there and grow this area. It's a big resort, four golf courses, as you mentioned, an 18-hole putting course. You've got about 425 rooms available on the resort, multiple tennis courts. I think there's seven different dining outlets, seven different retail outlets, three, four, five different pools. You name it, arcade. We've got it all, function space. So it's very unique in the sense that it appeals to buddy groups, it appeals to weddings, to corporate outings, to families, to business travelers, all of it. And the cool thing is you can, there's so much land that we're working with, and so many different function spaces and so many different menus. I mean, you can have a different experience every single night for night and day for a week, right? And never had the same thing. So that's what's very unique about it. I'd say our goal and our vision is to have the best resort experience in the state of Texas, if not the United States, from a product standpoint and from a people standpoint. And the great thing about Texas, you know, about Southern Texas hospitality. So we have great people that are genuine, caring, attentive, responsive, coupled with a fantastic product that the ownership continues to invest in and to develop and update. So I think it's something that's very special that we have here. I've been in this business for 22 years, and, you know, a lot of times the owners really don't pivot their capital funds to the golf asset, or maybe not to the resort. And it just feels like the ownership has a really good understanding of what's important from a consumer's experience here at this facility, and invest the money back into the property, which is fun to be a part of. So there's really no limitations from an operator standpoint.
And you're one of the properties, I think, that has set the standard for what now is becoming a new standard within golf for doing golf plus, I would say, or golf and, which is not only a golf resort, but there's many things to do, from the marina, your dining experiences, racket sports, the spa, which you will find me at every single day. I come there. Yeah. I love the spa experience. So I think you guys have both learned and taught the industry how to do what you're doing. And it's really kind of a special experience to be able to come in and get that from people who know it so well, who've been doing it for so many years like you have. Now, we talked about it before, but are you in the high season, or is there a high season? What's the high season for you guys?
Spring and fall is our peak season. That's when, you know, the weather's optimal. They've got fantastic weather and the lake's warm enough to start to use. I'd say summer is getting there. It's in probably a third in the way of seasons. And then our slower seasons, you know, going to be your January, February months, where you get quite a bit of cooler temperatures and potentially some freezes here and there. But, you know, the great thing about Texas is it can be 35 degrees one day and the next day it'll be 65.
Yeah.
So nothing ever lasts for too long, but spring and fall is by far the just perfect weather, the best months out of the year for sure.
Great. So right now, I'm sure you have a few things going, a few attractions going, maybe even a few deals going, dare I say. When people want to get some information about what you've got going on and how they can get to you, what's the best place to do that? Start with a website.
Start with the website, hsbresort.com. We've got all of our golf packages on there, all of our special deals for the golf academy, golf schools, 1-, 2-, 3-day golf schools. There's a lot of options on there, and a lot that you can do a la carte too. That's one of the things that's so special about us. There's so many things to do. As you mentioned, the spa and the putting course and the golf courses and the retail and the marina. You can go in there and a la carte all of that. So you just pick what you want to do and the experience that you want to have, and then we'll get you on property and we'll make sure it happens.
Speaking of getting on property, you guys are pretty much exactly centrally located. It's a couple of hours from the East Coast, a couple hours from the West Coast, yeah? Well, by plane.
Yeah, by plane.
Yeah. So lots of flights into Austin, I presume, your closest airport?
Absolutely. Yeah. Austin's only about 45, 50 minutes, hardly any traffic to and from. And then you've got San Antonio's about an hour and 15 minutes. So you've got a couple options there.
Okay. A couple options there. As you can see, I'm planning my trip, so I'm just making notes. look, I am so excited by looking at the website, looking what there is to experience there. And it seems to me that you guys have set the standard and are continuing to set the standard going forward for what American resort golf is all about. Congratulations on that, Anthony. And thank you for coming on the show. And we look forward to having you back to talk about anything you have new and different or exciting or anything else that you want to talk about. You've got a soapbox to stand on here to shout out to people.
I really appreciate that, Michael. It's an honor to be on here and share the special space. So appreciate you taking the time to do it.
It's my pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much. That is Anthony Holder, the director of golf operations at Horseshoe Bay Resort. As I said before, I have not been to this place, but you can tell the way he's very good at radio, because he really sets the scene for what it is, that rolling hill country that's in Austin. Again, a lot of people think of Texas as flat, but when you get that elevation change, you get that sense that you can be on a tree-lined course one day, you can be on a hill course the next day. The fact that they have so much variety there and the golf that is presented, again, that Jack Nicklaus course, not to set any false expectations, but so many people have said that this is Jack Nicklaus's best course. And when you think about the number of great courses that man has done from the east to west, from north to south, that is really saying something. That's a reason to go there in and of itself. But there's so many reasons to go and there's so many reasons to stay. So get on that website and let me know how your trip was. I'll let you know how mine was, because I'm going, I'll tell you that. We're going to take a quick break, and we come back, we'll do more golf and stuff. Michael Williams, 19th hole. Welcome back to the 19th hole, Michael Williams, your humble host. I have been invited and had the opportunity to sit in on some of the most wonderful events. That's ranging from PGA Tour major championships to pro-ams and all of these things all over the place, and they've all been wonderful. But there is a cut above. There is a level of excellence that sort of defines the rest of those events. And that level was achieved by one of the events that I was at not too long ago. I was invited to Bermuda for the Butterfield Bermuda Championship, and I had never been to Bermuda, quite surprisingly, but I was just amazed. I was blown away, literally, by the peace of it, the beauty of the place, the quality, the hospitality. And of course, the quality of the golf. I saw some of my good friends there, both on the tour and off the tour. Sepp Straka, who grew up with my son, as many of you know, was there. It was just a fantastic event. And I've always, since that moment, had a big thing for Bermuda. I admit it, okay? I have a thing for Bermuda. Joining me and helping me to deal with my thing with Bermuda is someone who is a critical part of the operations at the recently completed Butterfield Bermuda Championship. He's the assistant tournament director of that championship. Please welcome Javon Roberts. Javon, welcome to the 19th hole. How are you, my friend?
Hey, thank you, Michael. Very good to be here. Some big words you just said earlier, comparing us to major championships and whatnot. So very, very, very honored to kind of fill that void in your life and be held with such high esteem. So thank you for those words. Very nice of you.
Well, it's my pleasure, and it's well deserved, I would say. The experience that I had in Bermuda was second to none. It was really second to none. And before we start talking about Bermuda, I'm going to talk a little bit about you, because as the assistant tournament director, you have a lot of responsibility for that event. But you're also an accomplished player, aren't you?
Well, not on the professional circuit or the elite amateur circuit, but you know, I've done pretty good on the local Bermudian scene. So I'm pretty proud of some of the things that I've accomplished, and you know, but now it's kind of time to let the young boys and the young kids kind of do their thing and dominate the local golf scene. But, you know, very happy with the few of the wins that I've gotten over the years.
Well, I'd say that in looking at your record, you're giving me at least five aside. So five a hole, by the way. You're a good player. And I bring that up to establish your credibility for your position as tournament director. You know a golf course pretty well and how it's supposed to play, what the PGA is looking for in an event. Give us a little bit of the backstory of working with the PGA Tour on doing an event like the Butterfield Bermuda Championship. How long is the preparation for that event? And do you change the course? And this was Port Royal Golf Course that where the event was held. Do you change the course very much from its normal playing standing and status to host the tournament?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of things that go on in the lead up, as you can imagine, to putting on a PGA Tour event. So, mm-hmm. Myself as the assistant tournament director, I deal mostly on like the sales side of the event. And then I split my time between kind of nurturing the relationships that I've had through the year and making sure that everyone who I've sold hospitality to is kind of taken care of during the event. And then I also split my time between doing that and player relations. So my interaction with the tour and the agronomy side is a bit limited. Our tournament director, Danielle Carrera, she's the one that's heavily involved with the interactions with the tour. But I can kind of speak a little bit about what I've seen and heard. It's just the once the tour kind of once they get here, and it's usually what we call it advance week, so it's the week before we actually have the tournament. And they've been here multiple times, especially on the agronomy side. They normally come like, 3 times prior to our tournament. And then our tournament officials, they might pop in like once or twice just to kind of see how the golf course is going, and especially if we've done any changes to the golf course, they want to be there and see it. But we're in constant communication with the tour and with the agronomy side and with our superintendent. So it's a year-long process prepping for 1 week of play. But it's a kind of a slow burn, I guess, and it just kind of ramps up as you get closer to the event. But it's a lot of fun, and it's a great opportunity for me as a Bermudian and as a member at Port Royal and as a kid who grew up 30 seconds from the golf course, to be able to put my name on something that is near and dear to me. And just it kind of gives you that patriotic feeling a bit as well, where you get emails and messages and WhatsApps from your friends overseas that you went to college with, or other people that you've met through the years, and like, hey, I'm watching your event on TV. Good luck this week. And all the messages that you get after, it's very rewarding to kind of go through that week of stress. And then once you get those guys out of here on Monday, you can kind of let your proverbial hair down and kind of soak in the moment and enjoy what you've done. And then there's somebody else's, I like to say there's somebody else's problem. They were RSM's problem the minute we got rid of them on Monday. But I absolutely say that in jest. It's no problem at all. It's no problem at all. Those guys are great, and it's fun to put on the event and just have all the interactions that you have during the week.
Well, it was a great week with a great champion, a great championship. Talk a little bit about Port Royal Golf Course, though, because I think once again, the golf course was the star. If you would give us a little bit of background on Port Royal Golf Course and how you see it, some of the highlights, how you would describe the course for someone who hadn't played it before, and what you think are some of the signature holes of the course.
I think it's very dependent on the wind direction and the velocity of the wind, which if anyone watched the tournament, you can tell that we had 4 days of wind, which is kind of unlucky, but it's also great because the week before it was calm, and then all this week it's been fantastic, right? So it's just we kind of caught that 1 week window where the golf course played really tough.
Well, it's
I
the
was
same for all
talking
outdoor
to
sports, right? I mean, it's an outdoor sport. You get what you get.
it's nothing you can do about it. We just have to kind of make the adjustments as we go. But to answer your question, usually when the wind was out of the same direction that it was tournament week, which is like southwesterly, the first 6 holes are kind of down in a valley. So you have to be able to give yourself a bit of a cushion before you come back onto 7, which is a par 5. And 7 played dead into the wind all week, if I recall. and it's just it's a it's when the wind's up 30 miles an hour, it's so difficult. It's it, you really have to you have to be able to control your ball flight. And I think that's why we've had some winners from, we had Seamus Power, an Irishman. It's windy over there. Camilo Villegas, he won. Rafa Campos won
Yeah.
last year. So the, the Latin, the Latin guys have played pretty well here. Lucas Herbert, who's now on LIV, an Aussie,
Yep.
he's won here before. So there's all, and then we have Adam Shank, who's from Indiana, I believe. So, you have to have a bit of experience of playing in the wind and understanding how it's going to affect your golf ball, and to be able to control said golf ball once it's once you've made contact. So, it's a very fun golf course. I never get tired of playing it. I've been a member there for 16 years, I believe,
Wow.
and it's never a boring day. The golf course plays different all the time. You got some really, really interesting holes on the back that can kind of make or break your round. Lovely holes that create some thought on how to play them. What's the best way to kind of, protect yourself from a bad score? Or, do you kind of be a little more aggressive and try to make a little, try to make a better score, right? So it's a wonderfully thoughtful golf course to play it well. And I think that's what you'll get from most people who have played it a bunch of times. That's what the members think. It's like, once you get around to like 14, 15, 16, 14 to 15 are like the number three, number two stroke holes on the golf course. And then 16, this is, spectacular par three on the ocean that you can easily hit your ball into the water. And then you're looking at double and triple, and you got a pretty decent round going. So it's a fun golf course. I love playing it, and I wouldn't change anything about it at all. It's at the tips, it's 6,800 yards, so it's not very long at all. But the only defense we have is the wind, and that's why I think our winning score was 12 under par, and the cut was at even par. And then the next week, the cut was 7 under at RSM, and I don't know what Sammy Vailamaki finished with when he won, but maybe 20 something
20 something,
under par
22,
to
24, somewhere there.
So it's a very interesting golf course, and it really makes you golf your ball, like they say.
Yeah, in
So it's
indeed.
a yeah, it's a
Yeah,
lot of fun.
I would say, I think you finished with the headline. It's a lot of fun. And I like
It
courses
is.
that make you think your way around the course. They give you options to play. And I think that was my takeaway from it. Having played the golf course, it lets you play the shot that you can play. And then ask, it can, you can do it a number of different ways. There's a lot of golf courses I feel that only play one way. They're one dimensional. You have to hit a long high ball on a lot of golf courses, or you have to be able to fade the ball on some golf courses, or you're just absolutely lost. And on Port Royal, you can play it depending on what you can do, and it gives you choices, and that's the fun part to me.
I agree.
The thoughtfulness and then the fun part comes from being able to hit a shot that you can hit and then do that again and again and again. It's a wonderful golf course for a PGA Tour event, and congratulations to Adam Shank for having prevailed there. I want to talk a little bit though about just the time that I had, which I think I like to think was typical and emblematic of the type of experience that people have when they come to Bermuda and come to Bermuda for golf, which was headline. It was wonderful. I mean, it was just beautiful. The weather was beautiful. The course played lovely. I played in the pro-ams. Bermuda has a thing for welcoming people from the golf course, on the golf course, and off the golf course. And I guess I want you to talk a little bit about the personality of Bermuda golf as a person who's involved with the tournament and also with golf tourism in Bermuda in general. How do you all see yourselves as a golf destination, and how do you make yourselves appealing for the golf traveler?
You know, I think I'll answer that firstly, like as a Bermudian. You know, our welcoming spirit is something that I hear all the time in my interactions with people. You know, we're happy to, you know, if you see some tourists in the bus stop looking at a map, it's not uncommon to have someone pull over and jump out of their car and say, "Hey, guys, how are you? Where are you trying to get to? I'm happy to give you directions." You know, it's not uncommon to, you know, you see someone at Horseshoe Bay and there aren't any taxis around. It's not uncommon for someone to just offer that person a ride back to their hotel.
Yeah.
Right. It's we as an island, as a community, are very welcoming and very proud of our island and of our, you know, our heritage. And I think that shows in, you know, how we interact with people and how proud we are and the lengths that we go to make sure that people are having a good time and that they leave Bermuda with, you know, a sense of, I want to go back, right? You know, we always say to each other that once we get someone to Bermuda, the hard part is getting them to Bermuda, but yeah. Once they're here, we know we got them, you know, that they will be back. And that's what we pride ourselves on. It's just, you know, getting people to enjoy their time here, knowing that the best form of advertising is word of mouth. To be honest, you know, we enjoy people having a good time, and we know that, you know, it's kind of on us to make sure that they have a great time on the island. And part of that, especially in the golf world, is, you know, you want people to have a good time at the golf courses and dinners and, you know, at the bar afterwards. And, you know, that's kind of what we pride ourselves on is experiences. And I think that's where the Tourism Authority does a really fantastic job of kind of curating these different types of events to get people here, to create experiences, to kind of create that love of Bermuda, which in turn gets people to return year after year. I think Cambridge Beaches has a wall of fame where they're, you know, their most frequented visitors, they have like their name on the wall and how many times that they've been here. And there are names on the wall that have been here 50, 60, 70 times. Right.
Wow.
And that's
amazing.
Just wonderful. It's wonderful to see. And it just, you know, to me, it just shows that we're doing something right, where you have people wanting to return year after year, and do it all the time and speak so highly of us on socials and to their friends and all over the place. And that's what we're trying to create here with the golf destination side of it. You know, we have the most golf courses per square mile in the world. We have 7 golf courses here. So there's no shortage of good golf, really good hotels, really good restaurants, you know, some outside of activity as well for people that want to do a few things after golf. So it's a good place to come. We're 2 hours, less than 2 hours from the East Coast. I was in New York in January and March, and we were there in 90 minutes.
You're amazing.
So it's hard. It's hard to beat. It's very hard to beat, especially if you're coming from the East Coast. The weather's starting to get on your nerves because it's snowing. You know, jump on a flight, head to JFK or, you know, Newark, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Toronto. You all have direct flights coming here, and they're under 3 hours. So,
yeah,
pack your golf bag and shoes and
yes,
golf clubs and come on over.
Roger that. I'm going to do my very best to do that because we're just entering into our winter season here. And it is brisk here in Washington, D.C., I can assure you. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about was the food there, because the whole culinary experience is just at another level too. Food is very important to me. I'm not a big hefty guy, but I do like to eat. And I would say that when I was there, we kind of, the VIPs and the media, we kind of ate our way through tournament week. We had just these amazing meals of all types, especially the seafood, especially as you would expect. But I imagine that's something that you are proud of as a Bermudian and as a representative of the tournament, the culinary excellence that goes on in Bermuda.
Yeah, I've been able to travel to quite a few different PGA Tour events, and there's always a what's the word I'm looking for? There's always an importance of creating an experience for the player, but I feel also like in that same vein that the caddies are kind of not taken care of as well, especially on the culinary side. And I think, in my opinion, we have the best caddy food on the tour. And if you ask the caddies, we would be right up there with the level of food that we give the caddies. And I get this from the guys all the time. It's like, oh, Javon, the caddy food here is awesome, because it's practically what the players are eating as well. And every day we try to do something different with them. One day it's going to be pasta, the Italian. Another day it's going to be Indian. And of course there's going to be a day of kind of the local fish side of it. And the local heritage food. So, some of the Caribbean stuff
Sure.
and even the Portuguese influence that we have as well. I think we have some of the best food because we kind of pull from these different places where we have connections to. So obviously we have the British side of it, and then there's a strong Caribbean influence, and we also have a strong influence of Portuguese. The Portuguese have been here for hundreds of years. Our second language is Portuguese, actually. And then there's the American connection, being that we're so close to the US, and we're able to kind of curate all of these different cuisines and kind of make it our own, right? And it's nice to be able to kind of, get all these different types of foods and delicacies in one place. And there's one little small island of 21 square miles in the middle of the ocean, and have so many good places to eat, so many good restaurants, so many different cultures, and so many different cuisines. It's very, it's a great culinary experience in my opinion, especially if you like the seafood side of things.
I would have to agree. It's just a wonderful experience where you can pick and choose those things that you like. And then a week is kind of the perfect amount of a time to stay, minimum, because you get to choose some of those things, sample some of those things. And once you find what you like, you get to have a repeat performance, maybe two or three if you're lucky. But the culinary, the variety and the quality is just second to none in Bermuda. So I would give you a heads up on that. I know that you're involved with community. Golf tourism in Bermuda is very attached to junior golf, youth golf, youth development in Bermuda. Can you talk a little bit about that too, and how you're involved with youth golf and how that plays into part of the mission of the Butterfield Bermuda Championship?
Yeah, of course. So, as a Bermudian and as a father, my kids are active in the sporting world. My youngest asked me this morning, he wants to go and play golf this week. So, of course, he got a resounding yes. We can go whenever you want. But it's a big part of what we do here. With the Bermuda Tourism Authority being, you know, a very huge partner of ours, and Butterfield Bank, and both of these companies are very gung-ho on creating and being active in a community and around junior golf. And one of the things that we do every year at the tournament is a junior clinic on the Tuesday. Unfortunately, the last 2 years we've had to cancel because of the weather. But it's something that we hold near and dear to our hearts. It's a big part of what we do. And, you know, during the year, we also run in the lead up to the tournament, we do a junior ticketing contest where we send out the information to all of the schools on the island. And we run a contest based on like an art contest on, you know, who draws the best kind of golf related picture. And the winner will get, we create a junior ticket that goes out to everyone, all the juniors that, or the kids that enter during the week. And then that student school gets a $5,000 donation from us for their art program. So, you know, we're happy with the level of junior golf here. I played this week in my club championship and got absolutely destroyed by a 16-year-old Oliver Bechart, who played in the big event 2 weeks ago. So, you know, junior golf is in good hands with this new crop of teenagers and young adults coming through at the moment. And we're honored to be to hold and to have a little small special part in kind of developing the youngsters, and that's why we have our three exemptions that we give to Bermudians,
yeah,
to give them the opportunity to play in the Butterfield Bermuda Championship. And it gives them a firsthand view of what it's like to be a professional. And, you know, we give them, we treat them just like we treat any other tour pro, right? They get everything that everyone else gets. And it's a really great way for them to kind of have an idea of what it's like to be surrounded by all these professionals and where they need to improve on their game. You know, I haven't had the chance to do it, but it's a great experience for these guys to just kind of get thrown in the deep end and say, hey, I'm playing with some of the best players in the world, and this is what I saw. They were really good at this, this, and this. And yeah, if I want to play at this level, then this is where I need to kind of work on my game as well. And, you know, it's a great experience. It's a good learning experience for those guys. And, you know, we're happy to be able to, and honored to be able to give three Bermudians every year the opportunity to, you know, live out a lifelong dream and play in a PGA Tour event.
Well, it's a pretty amazing thing to see from the top players in the world to the top people in the world, which I think really accurately describes your amateurs. They're really something special. The event is something special, and the place is something really special. So for those who want to get more information and start planning a trip, which I hope we have inspired people to do, where can they go to get more information about how to get there and what to do once they do get there?
Bermuda.com is a good start. That will link you right to the Bermuda tourism site. That's a good place to start. If they want more on like the PGA Tour side of it, they can go to our website, ButterfieldBDAChampionship.com. And then, of course, we have a link to the tourism site as well. And we have some details on a few things to do here on the island as well. So there's a wealth of information out there. Quick Google search will give you a few ideas of what to do, but outside of the things that we've talked about today. But, you know, I think the tourism website, Bermuda Tourism, would be the initial kind of get your feet wet in the planning process of how to get here and what to do when you're here and some of the things that you can experience while you're on the island.
And just as we let you go, this is your high season is beginning right now, right? It's really the busy season for you, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll start to see, as far as golfers are concerned, yes. This is kind of the start to our golfing season. Overall, tourist season is obviously during the summer, but we're starting to kick off our season of golf. So we have the Goodwill coming up here in the next 2 weeks, which I do believe is the longest running pro-am at the moment. So we're very excited to be able to host that once again. So yeah, we're starting the golf season, and I just want to recognize that it is 75 and sunny today, and no breeze. Maybe two knots of wind out there. So beautiful day in November, and a happy early Thanksgiving to everyone as well.
Well, I like the way you slipped that in there. That was very subtle the way you did that with the weather report. Well done, my friend. You've got a future in this thing. Javon, thank you so much for imparting so much information about the island, about the event. And we'll definitely have you on in the future again to talk about the event, about Bermuda, and about everything that's so going so well with Bermuda Golf. Thank you so much for your time, my friend.
Michael, thank you. Been a pleasure. Always good to speak with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. That is Javon Roberts, who is the assistant tournament director for the Butterfield Bermuda Championship. It is a wonderful event, and it is a wonderful event not only because of the PGA Tour traffic. It's a wonderful event because of the place where it's held. It has so much to do with it, and I have met some really close friends for life there. As you know, I have met some wonderful people. I have played some wonderful golf there, and I have just had wonderful experiences there. And it's so close to the East Coast, it's not even funny. It really is easy to get to. So I would advise anyone who's looking for something to do, especially golfers, if you're looking for something to do or someplace to go that really sets itself apart in terms of its experience on and off the course, if you haven't tried it, try Bermuda. And if you have tried it, go again, because I know that there's something new that you haven't seen, and they're waiting for you, my friend. They are waiting for you. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more golf and stuff. Michael Williams, 19th hole. Well, as we say, that's it and that's all for this edition of the 19th Hole. I want to thank my very special guest, Anthony Holder from Horseshoe Bay Resort. It is a wonderful place. They have so much going on there, so much golf to be played, and I can't wait to get down there. Hit me up if you want to go with me. But it's going to be, I think, a very special place, not only judging by what he says, but what so many, many, many golfers say. They have such an incredible time there, and they don't go there once. They go there again and again and again. And that's the best type of recommendation that you can have. Also, thank you to Javon Roberts from Bermuda, the Butterfield Bermuda Championship, and just for visiting Bermuda. He gave a great explanation of why you should do both. Go to that tournament and also go to that place. I can attest that that place does have a very special feeling you will not forget. And I think you'll go more than once because you'll want to do more things than you have time to do typically in one visit, at least in the time that I have to spend. Maybe you'll get to do it all, but maybe you'll want to do it all again and again and again and again. Who knows? And thank you. Well, we want to say also that this show is available on Apple Podcasts, is available on Spotify, and it's available on all places where you can find high quality podcasts. And again, thank you for being patient with whatever this sounded like for you. I hope it was good. I hope it was acceptable. Please blame me if it isn't, but I promise you we'll have everything worked out by the time we get to next week. It'll be fantastic. So thank you
for listening, and we hope to see you next week. And in the meantime, go out, even if it's chilly in the Northeast, go to Topgolf or something. But wherever you go, go hit some balls. And when you do, hit them straight. Michael Williams, 19th hole.